If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Crystal Kaiser case. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The 19-year-old from Milwaukee charged with murdering her alleged sex trafficker was freed from the Kenosha County Jail this week after awaiting trial for nearly 2 years. A trial date has not been set yet. Are you watching the developments in this case? What outcome do you hope to see? We're at 800-642-1234. Jessica Contrera is a reporter with The Washington Post. Jessica, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, give us some framework here about who Crystal Kaiser is and why are you following this case?
Yes, Crystal Kaiser is a 19-year-old Black young woman. She is from Milwaukee, and in 2017, she met a 34-year-old white man, Randy Volar. Mr. Volar then became Crystal's sexual abuser. There's video evidence, because Crystal was underage, she qualifies as a sex trafficking victim in the state of Wisconsin. Crystal went on to kill Randy Volar, and so now she is facing life in prison for that murder.
She was freed on bail this week, and groups have been calling for her release. What are you hearing?
Yes, there is great community support both within Wisconsin and around the world for Crystal. They see her as a victim of abuse who was trying to defend herself. The prosecution says that they see it another way. They believe that they have evidence that the murder was not in self-defense, that it was premeditated. So the last 2 years have been a lot of back and forth between both sides. But as more people learn about Crystal Kaiser's case, the more support she has. There is a petition online with almost 100,000 signatures asking for prosecutor Michael Gravely to drop the charges against her.
What is her defense team here using to try to defend her? They're using something called affirmative defense law.
Yes. So Wisconsin, like many states, has a law on the books that's called the affirmative defense. What it says is that if you are a victim of trafficking, then crimes that you commit that are a, quote, direct result of the trafficking that you experience are something that you could show, you could argue in court, you know, I did this crime because I was in this particular situation. The question at hand is, well, which kind of crimes can you use that defense for? So Crystal's team reads the statute and says that she's clearly a victim of trafficking. She clearly did this as a direct result, and therefore she should have the opportunity to make that case in court. The prosecution says that that statute wouldn't apply to Crystal because the crime that she did was a violent crime and the most serious crime.
Has a defense like this been successful in the past?
That's a really great question. So in Wisconsin, since the affirmative defense law was on the books, it really hasn't been used very much. It's sort of something that lawyers might talk about behind closed doors when they're making plea deals, but it's not something that has been quite so tested in the court of law. And that's true really across the country. There are various versions of these laws floating around. So this case, what happens to Crystal, really could set a precedent for the rest of the country.
We're talking with Jessica Contrera. She's a reporter with The Washington Post, and we're taking a look at the Crystal Kaiser case as Kaiser was released on bail this week after nearly 2 years in jail after the alleged killing of 2018 of Randall Volar. I want to ask you, Volar was under investigation by the Kenosha Police Department for sexual misconduct after allegedly abusing multiple underage Black girls. And in February of 2018, he was arrested on several charges, including sexual assault. How has the Kaiser defense team handled that?
That's a great question. You know, we're still almost in the early stages of things, so that could really play out more when she does go to trial. But what we know is that this is a man who Police were well aware that he was doing, that he was committing crimes. What we know, though, is that that didn't mean that he was taken into custody and kept there. The same day that he was arrested, and that his house was raided, he was released. The police and prosecutors say that they were in the midst of investigating him, that they were getting ready to charge him when he died, and that they were trying to figure out, you know, exactly what crimes he committed based on the ages of the girls that he was abusing. Documents that we were able to obtain show that there were multiple girls, that the majority of them were young Black girls, and that some of them the police believed to be as young as 12.
How might this case affect other abuse survivors who are facing trial?
We are in a time of really a reckoning that kind of comes, you know, after Me Too, and also in this moment of everyone looking at racial injustice in the criminal justice system. We are seeing other cases like Crystal's where individuals who were, especially women, who were defending themselves are being looked at in a different way. Earlier this year, Alexis Martin, who was a sexual trafficking victim in Ohio, and she was a teenager at the time as well, she had already gone to prison for her involvement in a murder there of her trafficker, a murder that she did not commit. And there have been many people trying to get her out of prison for quite some time. And recently, the governor of Ohio decided, you know, as part of his efforts to reduce the prison population related to coronavirus, he released Alexis. So there are sort of a ball is rolling, and activists and advocates are really hoping that now is the time that individuals like Crystal are seen in a different way.
Going back to the Crystal Kizer case, what are the conditions of her bail?
So the conditions of her bail are, of course, that she, you know, should not have any access to weapons, and that she cannot be in contact with certain people who she was in contact with at the time of the crime. I think that there are a lot of people hoping that this time, now that she's out of jail, will be a time of healing for her. She has been through, you know, both sides agree, a significant amount of abuse at a very young age. And so she is, you know, back in Milwaukee in a safe place. And people are hoping that this is the time where she gets the therapy and the support that she needs while she awaits trial.
You've been writing about what child sex trafficking can look like and some of the stereotypes that we have that may or may not be true. Do you have a sense of how common it is for abuse survivors to fight back against the people who are harming them?
That's a really wonderful question. And it's very hard to know, because for many years, you know, you can go back through archives and find stories that look, you know, strikingly like Crystal's, a young Black girl who kills or harms an older gentleman. And those cases were rarely identified as, you know, those girls were victims of sexual trafficking. But, you know, that's beginning to change. And part of why that's changing is people are starting to understand what sex trafficking looks like in America. You know, it is very rarely, you know, a person kidnapped off the street, and, you know, whisked away in a car and tied up in a basement. The vast majority of child sex trafficking victims in the United States are tricked by people who they know, who they trust, who they believe love them, and have their best interests at heart. And so as parents, teachers, police officers begin to recognize that that's how sex trafficking happens, more and more is being done, hopefully, to stop it, and to stop situations like what happened to Crystal from ever occurring in the first place.
In Crystal's situation, how did Crystal Kizer and Volar meet? How did that happen?
That's a really important part of the story. So Crystal was had recently moved to Milwaukee with her family, and they lived in a homeless shelter for some time. They were very much struggling financially, and Crystal told me that she learned at school that some people showed her how to use a website called Backpage.com, and Backpage.com was basically a prostitution marketplace online, but it was shut down because there's so much child trafficking on this website. And this part of the story is especially important because people, might used to look at this and say, oh, well, she put herself out there. But that's not a choice that a child can make. In the United States, when an adult takes advantage of a child, the crime is not with the child, it's with the adult. And so that's really been a really kind of central point in this case, because, in this situation, this man was abusing girls who might not have considered themselves to be victims of trafficking.
Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jessica Contrera is a reporter for The Washington Post. Coming up, nursing home residents have been devastated by the pandemic. Long-term care residents make up more than a third of coronavirus deaths in our country. We'll talk with the CEO of a Kakana home, and that is right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.